Thanks, Miss Pat. Press on in Jesus' name. You know, sometimes pressing on can simply mean understanding our limitations and weaknesses, and that we just got to hold on for dear life. Amen. And take what God brings our way, and know that even when we can't hold on, He's holding on to us. And what a great comfort that is. I was out fooling with the tomatoes the day before yesterday, and the wind, that storm was coming up. It was late in the evening, and the clouds were just building up. It was getting dark, and the winds were blowing. And I noticed, as I was working with those tomatoes, a dragonfly. And as I got to looking at that dragonfly, I normally can't get all that close to them. Y'all, anybody that knows me knows I like to take pictures of things, and I try to get close to them. I put my phone on silent so I can get down there right up on them. And one of those dragonflies, when the closer you get to them, they normally take off and they get away from me. And I try to trace them down and get as close as I can. And you know, you could see through their wings and all, and your phone don't want to zoom in on them all that well. Well, that wind was blowing, and I noticed I kept getting closer to this dragonfly, and it wouldn't fly away. And I got right up on it, and I actually had headphones on. I was listening to music at the same time, and so I got a cord, and I'm standing like this, and I can get closer and closer to that dragonfly, and I take a few pictures of it. And I recognized that dragonfly was holding on to that tomato cage. I mean, it was holding on. When I say holding on, it had a grip on it like this. And the wind was blowing it all over, but it wouldn't let go. And I eventually said, I think it's going to let me video it. So I shifted it over real quick, and I videoed it for just a few minutes to be able to share. But that dragonfly had a hold on that little cage and was holding on for dear life. And that wind was blowing it all over, but it wasn't going to let go. And, you know, sometimes we, too, got to recognize our limitations in our lives, and that the storms are going to come our way, and the winds are going to blow, and they're going to howl, and we got to get a hold of something that's stronger than what we are. Amen. And to press on, that's the idea, to lay hold of Him for which has laid hold of us, to be able to fulfill what He's called us to do. We're weak and feeble, even though we're made to do things that are impossible to do, we could only do them in His strength. And we got to hold on. Amen? Amen. Won't you take your copy of God's Word and turn to Proverbs chapter number 4. We are in the book of Proverbs. We're actually up to Proverbs chapter 8 in our daily reading. If you don't have a copy of the reading schedule, there's one down here that you can actually get before you leave. But whatever the day of the month it is, this month we'll be in that proverb for our daily reading as well. So we're up to chapter 8, and what a great practical wisdom that we're gleaning and learning as the Lord teaches us in the book of Proverbs. We just come out of Psalms, that book of songs of deliverance and celebration and praise, and now we're digging and these great principles and practical truths of wisdom that the Lord wants us to see. And I want to deal with really one verse in here. And we may look at a couple verses of Scripture around it, and we'll probably travel just a little bit. But something that encourages me and strengthens me and gives me great hope and expectation, and I've watched to come to pass in my own journey with the Lord, and I believe you would be able to testify that as well. But we have a great promise that is cloaked in a principle found in Proverbs 4:18. Listen to what the Scripture says. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. Father, we thank you today and just ask you that you would help us as we draw near unto you. We do want to humble ourselves before you this morning. We're thankful that we can approach your throne of grace, your throne of might and honor and righteousness and glory and majesty. And we want to enter into your courts with praise. There's none like you who only does wondrous things. And we want to thank you today for making a promise to us that you will continually make the path clear for your people. Help us, Lord, as we journey in this world that we live in. We ask that as Jesus prayed, that you will continue to sanctify us by your truth, that you will keep us from the evil one and the way of the wicked, those who are wrong and going astray, and that you will preserve us for your good and glory. We're looking to you, we're depending upon you, and outside of you doing a work in this place today, in me, through me, with your people, in us, our gathering together would be in vain. We want you to have your way, you to be magnified, you to be glorified, your work to be manifested. We'll give you the glory and the praise in it, and thank you for the results of what you desire to do. In Jesus' name, amen. The path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter. The image that is written here is speaking of what we experience on a daily basis. For an example, when that sun rises in the morning, it's something that we can go, how many of you like seeing the sun rise? How many of you never see the sun rise? Raise your hand. Miss Lorraine, if you're like some of us get up at what time in the morning? What time you normally get up, Pam? What time? 4:30 to 5. The turkeys ain't even up at that time in the morning. Brother Shannon, what time you get up?
I get up
about 5:30. Dave Bryan, what time you get up in the morning?
4 to 5.
Depends on the journey. Tommy, what time you get up?
About 6.
Mr. Bud, what time you get up?
About
7:30. Used to be in the field by sun up. You know, when that sun's coming up in the morning time, that's a pretty sight, isn't it?
Amen.
Such a pretty, when the everything's waking up in the morning, that's one of the great thrills about being in the woods, getting to hunt, or turkey hunt, or whatever it is, when everything's coming alive, and the birds start talking, and the turkeys start gobbling, and the hoot owls have been hooting through the night, but they getting riled up in the morning, and they'll start talking to one another and laughing with one another, and that sun is peeking up over that horizon. And you know how you can gaze and you can watch it and look at it, and it's not as threatening as it is as when the sun rises throughout the day. The more the sun rises to get to its peak, the brighter it gets, and you can't look at it. You can't gaze at it as you can when it's rising in the morning. And that's the image that the proverb paints for us, is that for the just, his life, our lives, the path of our lives, will continue to brighten as the sun does to its midday point, when the sun appears as if it stands still for a moment in the midday sky, when it's at its brightest, when we can't gaze at it, you have to turn and give place to it because it's too bright to look at. We have a promise from God that as being the just, our days will continue to get brighter and more clear for us as we walk in that justice and righteousness with the Lord. That comforts me. That's a great hope for me, that I don't have to fear of venturing off into darkness. I've got to recognize that there is a dark path. It's possible, but God says that the days of my journey, my path with him, will continue to get brighter as I walk with him. What a great comfort that is. Why is that? I'm going to look at just a couple things in the Word of God that will help us. And even in light of that, of knowing that, he still gives a warning. Proverbs not only gives us great practical daily principles of living in that light, but to live in that light, it also warns us to be cautious and to be careful. Listen to what he says in verse number 14 of this same proverb. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it, do not travel on it, turn away from it, and pass on. For they do not sleep. They can't get any rest unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone else fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, that's their food, that's what they survive on, and drink the wine of violence. But on the other hand, contrasted to that, the path of the just is like the shining sun. Now, if it wasn't possible for us to get entrapped with the way of the wicked, God, the Lord would never have given us an exhortation to avoid the path. Because it's possible. Just like any good daddy, any good mama, when we teach our children to avoid certain circumstances and avoid certain things. For an example, how many of you told your kids, don't get in a car with somebody that's been drinking alcohol? You ever tell your kids that? Have they ever tell you don't drive a vehicle if you was drinking alcohol? That ever been told to you? And I know some of us disobeyed that, didn't we? Did things, thought we were invincible and we can get by with it. You know how many people think that and die on a regular basis? In our land today, there's more people killed by alcohol-related accidents than are killed over in Afghanistan or Iraq every single year, and we warn people and we take those warnings, and a lot of times it's the innocent people that get killed, Mr. Bud, by somebody who don't heed the warning. And that's the same principle, is that we damage other people when we don't heed God's warning to avoid the path of those who are living wrongly in the sight of God. We think we can get in, it's not going to bother us as bad because we can handle it. But we don't realize it's often the repercussions with somebody else that it has a greater effect on and damages the innocent that's watching how we're living and the path we're taking. It has a great effect upon them. And we've got to be aware of that. But he's warning us that it's possible. It can be enticing. We still live in a world. Our bodies are still flesh and blood. These things still have an appeal to it. Sin is pleasurable for a season. And if anybody tells you different, they lying and they're not telling you the truth. Sin is pleasurable. And everybody said, amen. It is. And it has a draw. It draws us away. James talks about it like that. Don't let anybody say that he was tempted of God, for God tempts no one. Each one of you are drawn away by your own. And lust is just a natural desire that we all have in our flesh. The natural man has natural desires. It's just a natural desire that begins to be fed. As this scripture here said, their bread and their wine, what they eat on, is wickedness and violence. They feed that natural desire, and when you feed it, it turns into lust, and when lust is conceived, it turns into sin, and when sin is full grown, what does it bring about? Death. Avoid it. Stay away from it. I know growing up there were certain people that I believe that my dad knew more about than I knew. And he knew more about their ways than I knew about their ways. And even though I went to school with, played ball with, hung out with, run around with, that kind of stuff, with their children, with their boys, my dad wouldn't let me go stay with them at their house because he was privy on knowing some things about their daddy or their mama, and he didn't want me under that influence as I was growing up. He was just protecting me. Didn't want me there. Wouldn't let me go. Said, don't let me catch you over there. You can hang out with, you can meet with, but you still got to recognize that they don't see things like we see things. They don't teach their kids like we teach y'all. And when it comes to certain stuff, there were certain elements that our dad wouldn't let us do. And if he did things, he did stuff because he was a heathen himself. But a lot of things he didn't do around us that I didn't know he was doing, had no clue. that he ever done until I got older and started listening to people and started watching things, and I realized, hey, some of those things he used to tell me not to do, he was doing. But he never did it around us or in front of us. Why? He was actually trying to protect me, to avoid certain things. Stay away from it. Amen. Same way with Proverbs. So it's possible for us to get taken away, but we have a promise from the Lord that when we walk in the righteousness that we have received from the Lord, we don't create righteousness, it's a gift granted to us. When we walk in that justness of the Lord, what happens is God says, I'll make your days and your life and the path you're on brighter. Not filled with darkness so that you don't know where you're going, where you're headed, or the dangers that are ahead. I will shed light on that path, and it will continue to get brighter and brighter. How does that work? Well, first off, we've got to ask, how in the world does somebody become just? Because we were all wicked at one point or another, and there's still iniquity and potential for wickedness in every one of us. But how can a man be declared just? Well, he's got to be forgiven. Amen. Has to be forgiven. God forgives. And one of the neat things about that path that continues to get brighter for us, as it gets brighter, we see deeper and more intimately what he has forgiven us of. I don't know about you, but I recognize today more than I did when he first saved me of the depths of his forgiveness. I don't deserve to be forgiven, but Jesus justly paid my price on my behalf. That's why God can forgive me and deal with me righteously and justly, because somebody stood in my stead for me. But when the more I recognize the things that I've done in the past, and even the things that I've done since I belonged to Jesus that were opposed to his ways, that I needed forgiveness of, that I didn't even realize at the time I was doing, that was contrary and casting a dark shadow upon whose character God was, God has shown me he's forgiven me a whole lot more than I ever thought I needed forgiveness of. As I walk down this path of light, forgiveness. Turn to Psalm 130. Look in 130 for a moment. Psalm 130. These some shouting verses. If you stand up on a pew and do a circle, ain't nobody going to say nothing about it. Just do it. Amen. It's shouting verses. Listen to what he says here. 130 in verse number 3. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who can stand? But there is forgiveness with you that you may be what? Oh, man. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities. The word mark means to retain or hold on to. If you were to hold on to the intent or the motivation of that iniquity within me, that why I do terrible, bad things, if you were to hold on to it, retain it, keep it, mark it as a done deal, sealed thing, that there had no potential for forgiveness, who in the world, is there anybody that would be able to stand before you at any moment and at any time? It would be virtually impossible. Amen? Amen. Aren't you glad he don't mark them? And hold on to them and retain them and keep them and put them on file so he has them in his filing cabinet that he could pull them on out and say, look, you remember when you did this? You remember this? What? Who are you? Who are you to approach me? You can't come in my presence. You can't do anything for me. You remember this? Aren't you glad he don't mark them? Amen. that there's forgiveness with him. And forgiveness means freedom and liberty, a release. He releases us from those wicked intentions that we've had. I mean, things to hurt and harm people, to mistreat people. And we've all had bad motives in dealing with people before. And if you say you haven't, you probably need to be forgiven today. Amen. Because you know what I mean. There's been people that you've had maliciousness against and that got under your skin. Anybody ever get under your skin?
Amen.
And you'd love for their feet to get knocked out from under them. And you would take advantage of them if you could and get away with it. That's that wickedness, that iniquity within us, that motivation that makes us do something to try to renegotiate what God has already said. And God says, don't do this because I don't do that. And if you're going to represent me, you can't do that. And then we try to renegotiate and say, well, I can do that and get away with it, and it won't harm you, and it won't harm me, and it won't harm them. That's wickedness. Are you with me? That's iniquity. That's a motivation that's contrary to the character of God. But I'm thankful that he doesn't hold on to it, that he doesn't retain it, doesn't mark it and seal it as something that can't be overcome. There's forgiveness with him. And the longer I walk on the path with him, the more I realize how needy I am of his forgiveness. And how needy I am to be forgiven of what was in the past. And I'm thankful because of Jesus, my past sins are forgiven. My present sins are forgiven. Even my future sins are already washed in the blood.
Yes.
And clean. Amen? That's worthy of a shout. The fact that past, present, and future sins, because of the righteous work of Christ, have been forgiven. But God, when he forgives us, he doesn't forgive us with no intention or purpose. He says he forgives us so that we may fear him. Now, the idea of fear, that's the second part of this dynamic, is not only do I realize on this path of light that he's continually washing me and forgiving me. The blood cleanses me of all my sin and all unrighteousness, but it also doesn't give me a leash to say, go do as you please. That liberty, that justice that he grants in forgiveness is to justify me to serve him, not to go off on my own. And that's why he says he forgives us that we may fear him. When you fear something, when I fear something, when we fear something, we give place to it. We give place to it. Anybody afraid of the dark? Lucas, you afraid of the dark? Don't like the dark. I understand. Doing turkey season. When you got a 3.5-inch magnum with you, right? Well, the dark is not something that we should necessarily like. Though it has an appeal to all of us, coverings, dark things, but being afraid of the dark or giving place to the dark. Let me illustrate it this way. How many of you at night when there is no light just go take a gallivant running through the woods or through a yard? Why do we not do that? You can't see where you're going. You don't know what the dangers are. You can't see it. So what do? We give place to the darkness, and we as we give place to it, we try to find light to overcome the darkness. Whether you're in a house at night, do y'all walk around your house with it totally pitch black with all the lights out? Pam does. Come on, that's right. It's something how when you're in darkness and we still got a little bit of light around. We got enough light that we can still see even from the outside light. But the darkest place that I've really ever been in was on a ship. I've been down in some tanks in a ship that were deep down in the hull that we were cleaning out. That were, you turn out a light down there, there's no light. You're just not going to see. But there's been times that we've been at sea on a vessel, and when I was on that ship, we was in some storms, Mama Rob. And so all your clouds was covering. There was no stars. There was no moon shining. And it would be pitch black, so dark that you could not see your hand. I mean, you could put your hand in front of you and you could not, there was no light. You could not see even outside. You could hear the waves hitting the ship. And there was times when we were in a storm like that once and we lost power. And it's never good for a ship to lose power at sea, to go dead in the water. We went dead in the water during a storm. And when it goes dead in the water in a storm and you in somewhere like the Red Sea or you in the Persian Gulf where we were at the time, and it's pitch black, you can't see, and it's hot. When I say hot, I mean it is hot, hot. You lose air condition. And when you lose air condition in a hot vessel that's already in hot water, one of the only things that you can really do to find some relief is if you can get outside to get some sort of breeze on you. So we would slip outside, and we had an ammo box right outside of our berthing area, and you can get out on that ammo box and go sit on it and let the winds hit you from that storm, but it would be so dark on that what they call a catwalk along the side of that ship. You knew under you about 40, 50 feet or more, depends on where we were at and what we were doing, was nothing but water under there, and you couldn't see where you were going. And when you walked down that catwalk, even though you've walked it 1,000 times, you had your old hand on that wall. You didn't want to slip off. You knew you couldn't go off the side. I mean, you had a railing there. The only way to get off the side is if somebody threw you off or you jumped off of it. You wasn't going to fall through it. But because it was dark, and you gave place to it, you scooted along, and you held on to that side. And as you sat there, you could hear people scooting. Nobody, I mean, it was a common thing. Nobody just ran by you during that time frame. They wouldn't do it. Didn't know where they were going, even though they walked it 1,000 times. You sit there and you listen to them. You can hear them coming, and they don't know you're there. And we like playing with one another out there on the ship. And you sitting on that box, and you got your buddy here, and you tapping him. He can't see you. You can't see him. You only know who it is because you walked out there with him. And all of a sudden, you hear somebody coming along. And they get right there in front of you and just say, boo. And they let out a scream like a little girl. And when they do, they grab you and grab the rail at the same time. Why? They've given place to the darkness. When we fear anything, we give place to it. How many like snakes? I don't like snakes. I don't even like dead snakes at all. I really don't. I give place to snakes. I fear snakes, and I'll give place to them. And even I would rather be able to see the snake than not see the snake if there's a snake around, to keep distance between he and I. You know, when you're slipping down by a pond to do a little fishing and the grass has grown up a little bit, and when you go to take a step, there's a moccasin that's right under your foot, and your heart just wants to come out of you. He's scared of you, and you're scared of him, and he takes off, but you don't know where he went. I don't fish no more. I leave. I go to some on the other side. I don't hang out where he was at. I don't know where he's at. I'm getting out of there. I give place to him. Now, the idea is not being afraid of God, though we do understand God does what he says he does. He will do what he's promised, and he's not to be mocked, but I give place to him. When I give place to him, I give priority to him. And you see, the forgiveness of God, he forgives us that we fear him. And as we walk down this path, because we've been forgiven and this forgiveness works out of fear, I find that as I journey in this light down the path, the more I recognize that I've been forgiven and what he's doing in me, the more I give place to him to have priority over my life. Yeah. And that path continues to get brighter. He continues to do his work. And as a result, what do? You can't help but, Scripture says, he who's been forgiven much also loves much. Amen. And we treasure what we love, amen? And when you treasure what you love, you trust. You put your trust in. So the third thing that continues to brighten what I would consider in my own journey is faith. The longer I walk with the Lord, I believe the more faith I'm putting in Him, the more I'm learning from Him. And my faith is continued to increase as I see Him at work. I can get distracted at times, and I know you can too, with situations and circumstances that can pull you off to the side. Are you looking at things the wrong way? You ever get on the wrong angle and look at something that looks a whole lot bigger than what it really is? Well, there's times in our journey that we do that. We're looking at something from the wrong angle, and it seems so much bigger than what it was. But the neat thing about journeying with the Lord and that path getting brighter and brighter, we have so many markers in our life of God's faithfulness, of Him being true, Him being faithful, watching Him do what He's promised He would do. And as we have those markers, what they do is they keep propelling us from one thing to the next of knowing that, hey, He brought me through this, He's going to bring me through. And everything's is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. Amen? What is too hard for Him? Is there anything too hard for Him? There's not. I can miss it, though, and start looking things from the wrong perspective and stop operating in faith. And when I do that, you know what I start doing? I start putting confidence in myself. And I avoid, for an example, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. What does it say? Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. Lean not upon. Acknowledge Him in all thy ways. He would direct your path. The idea, Miss State, of Him directing our path goes right along with what we're talking about here. The path becomes clearer when we're trusting Him in faith. So it correlates together. As the path gets brighter for us, that means that God's directing our path. We're putting more faith and confidence in Him, and we're trusting Him. We trust in Him, and we follow Him. Amen? Amen. Look in Psalm 43 before we go. Look in 43. We start asking God to do things that we know we can't do on our own. As we put in faith in Him, because we fear Him, giving place to Him, because of His sweet forgiveness along this path we're on. Psalm 43:3 says, "Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God, to my exceeding joy, and on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God." Amen? Send out your light and send out your truth. I trust you, God. I'm putting faith in you. I need you to brighten the path for me so that I can journey down this road that you're leading me upon. I'm going to follow you. And I know wherever you lead me, you're going to lead me for righteousness' sake, for your name's sake, for your glory's sake. And as a result, what happens? We got a great consolation found in Proverbs. We hadn't got there to this point, but turn to Proverbs 12, and we'll close this out and see what I would call the fruit of being on this bright path. Look in Proverbs 12, 28. In the way, or the path of the righteous, is what? Life. And in its pathway there is no death. Amen? Amen. You know, one of the blessings of walking down this illuminated path that continues to brighten like the noonday sun is the fruit that comes off of it. Life. As the just walks down the path, he recognizes it becomes clear and clear of God's forgiveness over his life, which produces a fear of giving place to the Lord, which increases our faith and trust in Him along this illuminated journey to follow and ask for Him to send out this light to us. And as a result, the fruitfulness of life begins to come off of our life. There's no death in it, amen? So as we journey down this path, it should become more fruitful, more beautiful, more pleasant, more attractive, because it gets brighter and brighter and brighter until the perfect day. Amen? There's no need to fear nor fret, for the Lord is our light. We can trust Him and walk with Him and thank Him for what He's done, what He's doing, and the promises that He's given us. It just keeps getting brighter. Doesn't mean it's getting easier, because that's part of the journey too. The further you get down the road with Him, you realize that what I used to think was easy following the Lord has sure become a challenge in this struggle. Because the more wisdom and knowledge and understanding and compassion He gives, the more I see around me that it's dark and falling apart, and my need to step up to follow His great leadership. Amen?
Amen.
It gets tough. It is. But it just keeps getting brighter. To Him be the glory. Would you stand with me this morning? Father, thank You. We bless You. Thank You for such great hope and promises. We pray that You'll help us cling to You, hold on to You, know our limitations and weaknesses, and that we'll cling to You, which is so much stronger and mightier, our refuge, our strong tower, our hope in this life. We love You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.